Let's take our Bibles, please, this morning and turn to the book of Genesis, chapter 5. As we continue in this series of messages on the great passages of the Old Testament. And while you're turning to Genesis 5, let me just say how encouraged I was this last week at the number of people who either emailed me or called me or spoke to me on Sunday, how the message out of Judges 14 was an encouragement to their heart. I know that many people, and we all face trials and sorrows at various times, but I know there are many people in the body of Christ here at Berean who are facing difficult times, times of heartache and struggle or whatever, and it was just a blessing to me to know that those words out of that riddle from Samson was a comfort to your heart, knowing that out of the dark moments, out of the deep hurts, out of the trials of life, sometimes for those who know God and those who are walking with the Lord, that sometimes out of those difficult and dark times come some of the sweetest blessings that we'll ever have as we learn the lessons that God has for us in those moments. This morning our text is found in Genesis chapter 5 and reading verses 21 through 24. Genesis chapter 5 beginning at verse 21. It says, Enoch lived 65 years and begot Methuselah. And after he begot Methuselah, Enoch walked with God 300 years and had sons and daughters. So all the days of Enoch were 365 years. And Enoch walked with God, and he was not, for God took him. There are two other passages of Scripture that deal with the subject of Enoch. In Hebrews 11:5, we read these words, By faith Enoch was translated, so that he did not see death, and was not found because God had translated him, because before his translation he had this testimony that he pleased God. And then in Jude, verses 14 and 15, we read these words about Enoch. Now Enoch, the seventh from Adam, prophesied about these men also, saying, Behold, the Lord comes with 10,000s of his saints to execute judgment on all, to convict all who are ungodly among them all of their ungodly deeds, which they have committed in an ungodly way, and of all the harsh things which ungodly sinners have spoken against him. Well, this morning we're talking about Enoch, this man who walked with God and who was translated so he would not see death, and I'm praying today as we take another text out of the Old Testament, this great passage, that it would truly be a blessing to your heart and an encouragement to you to walk with God. Let's bow in prayer and ask the Holy Spirit to be with us. Our Father and our mighty God, we come into your presence today and give you glory. We worship from our hearts, from the innermost being of our souls, we pour forth praise to you. You are a mighty God, a holy God. A God who's above all things, transcendent through space and time. We can't comprehend, Father, the infinite, and you are beyond our understanding, but you've chosen to reveal yourself to us through the Scriptures and through your Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. Our Father, as we look at this passage today of this thy servant Enoch, we pray that the lesson of his life, the encouragement of his example, would not be missed, but we would all have a passion within our heart to walk with you. Well, Father, speak to all those who are here today. May everyone who truly knows you have in their hearts to be those men and women and young people who throughout the days of their lives would truly walk with you. And Heavenly Father, if there's somebody here today who does not know Christ in a saving way, if they have not been born again by your grace, if they have not been convicted of sin and drawn to the cross, oh, Father, today, open their eyes, the eyes of their soul, that they might see their need of Jesus Christ. We pray these things, Father, in his name and for his glory. Amen. The story of Enoch that we have in our text here is one of the great stories and encouragements to us. Very brief, not a lot said about this man. We know that he wore three hats from the passages that I've read. We know that he was a prophet, a patriarch, and a preacher. He was the son of Jared, the seventh from Adam. His name means follower or insider or initiated. In many ways, he is a type of Christ. Enoch lived in a in a very peculiar time in history. In Genesis chapter 5, as we read about this man Enoch who lived and walked with God, prior to his life, not long before, we see the fall of man in the garden. After the life of Enoch, we have the flood. So in between the fall and the flood, in those two dark chapters of human history, in between the darkness of those two events, is this man shining brilliantly, brightly like a star in the heavens, as a great reminder to us that even in dark times, even in difficult times, we can walk with God. The tragedy of the fall, the tragedy of the flood, all these things surrounded this great man named Enoch. We read up to the time of Enoch, we don't read much about death in the scriptures. But in this chapter, as we go through the list of all these people that lived, we know that the little cemetery east of Eden is beginning to fill up with Adam's descendants. Notice in our chapter 5 of Genesis, notice just if you would, in verse 6, it talks about Seth. In the end of that verse, it says he died. We look down at verse 9, Enosh. We hear how he lived, and it says, and he died. Verse 12, we have the word Canaan, this man, he lived, and it says he died. Mahalalel, he lived, and it says he died. Jared, he lived, and he died. Methuselah, in verse 25, it says he lived, and then it says he died. Verse 28, Lamech, he lived, and he died. He lived, and he died. He lived. The cemetery is now filling up with those who are dying because of the fall of man. Enoch was a man who had a special event take place. He was translated so he would not see death. Unlike others in life, Enoch and Elijah were the only two that did not taste death. They were translated by the grace of God. And this morning, I want to talk about this important subject in our Christian life of what it means to walk with God. When we think about what God has for us, what His will is for our lives, there are so many things that we could mention. My prayer, my desire for each of you, young and old alike, is that you will somehow capture the essence of what it means to be a Christian, that you would understand that to be brought into fellowship with God means that we love Him, commune with Him, we fellowship with Him, and that we walk with Him. I don't know how people who aren't Christians, how they can face life. I don't know how they can face the tragedies and the heartaches of life apart from Christ and the Scripture. I don't know how people can live without the Bible. I don't know how people can live without Christ. I don't know how people can live without walking with God. And what my prayer is this morning, and for all the Bereans here, and any visitors with us as well, if you know the Lord, my prayer is that you would know Christ, love Him, adore Him, follow Him, defend Him, and that you would walk with God. That your life would be characterized, this man, this woman, this person, they walk with God. One of the godliest men that I ever knew was my brother-in-law, Dale Faisenfeld, Jr., who died at the age of 42 by a deadly brain tumor. And on his tombstone, it says, here is a man who knew God, who loved God, who walked with God. My prayer for each of you is that you would know the joys and the glories and the blessings of walking with God. Now, as it's my practice here, I'll give you my theme, is simply walking with God. And I'd ask the question first, why would anyone want to walk with God? Secondly, what does it mean to walk with God? Thirdly, where does walking with God take us? And fourthly, what keeps a person walking with God? Well, with those four simple questions, I want to address this issue. All we have in our scripture here, Enoch walked with God. I can remember when I was first converted and went to First Baptist Church, I heard Pastor Robert Shelton preach on this passage one Sunday morning, and I have never forgotten how that impacted my life. As a young man, it captured me that day. of the thrill, the joy, the possibility of walking through life, not just going existing, but walking with the God of the Bible. The first question is, why would anyone want to walk with God? What do we know about God? He is so holy, he cannot look upon sin. God is so holy, he's as a consuming fire. He is going to cast those who reject him into eternal damnation. This God of the Bible that we know, of Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, this consuming fire, this transcendent God, this sovereign God, this God, he knows everything about us. There's nothing he does not see. He knows our thoughts before we think them. He sees you in every dark place. He knows every step you take, every breath you breathe. This great, holy, mighty God. Think about that. Why would anyone want to walk with a God who is so awesome and terrifyingly holy? A God who's a God of love and grace, but a God of justice as well. Why would anyone want to walk with God? Christians and non-Christians operate on two sets of presuppositions. For those who are Christians, they've been born again. That is, they've been captured by grace. They've been in the Holy Spirit has regenerated them. They have the life of God planted in their souls, as it were. And because God has changed them and saved them and regenerated them, now there's different desires that a believer has that an unbeliever does not have. The believer who's awakened and regenerated and filled with the Spirit, they desire God. They want to know God. They long for him. They want to walk with him. They have these desires to read about him, to study him, to worship him, to praise him. But on the other hand, those who are not Christians, who have not been born again, their hearts are dead. There's nothing in their heart that would want them or drive them or cause them to want to seek out this one who sees everything that we do, who knows our thoughts, who is so holy he cannot look upon sin, this transcendent God who will cast them into hell fire, this God who's a consuming fire. Unregenerate men flee from him. Christian people run to him. And the reason people want to walk with God is because of grace. Because of God's grace. Why would anyone want to walk with God? Because of the grace of our mighty God in salvation. Many years ago, I read the book by Elizabeth Elliot about her husband, Jim Elliot. And she quotes from his diary something, and I read this quote over the years. It has so blessed my heart. Because this quote is expressing the depths of this man, Jim Elliot, his love and passion for Christ. Notice what he says in his journal. He says, I walked out to the hill just now. Now let me put it in context. He's a young man. He's a student at Wheaton College in Illinois. He's getting ready to go to the mission field. Little does he know that going down to the mission field in Central America, that he will be a martyr. He will be killed by the Aka Indians. But this man's heart is ablaze with the glory and love for God. And he's playing volleyball with a group of students, and he walks away from the students for a moment, goes up on a hill, and he writes these words, I walked out to the hill just now. It's exalting, delicious, to stand embraced by the shadows of a friendly tree, with the wind tugging at your coattail, and the heavens hailing your heart, to gaze and glory, and to give oneself again to God. What more could a man ask? Oh, the fullness, pleasure, sheer excitement of knowing God on earth. I don't care if I ever raise my voice again for him, if only I might love him, please him, and perhaps, in mercy, if he gives me a host of children, that I may lead them through the vast star fields to explore his delicacies, whose finger ends sets them to burning. But if not, if only I might see him, touch his garments, smile into his eyes. Ah, then, he says, not stars, not children shall matter. No, nothing shall matter but Christ himself. What an amazing quote from this man, Jim Elliot. He was born again. He was regenerated, and he had this desire to know God, to fellowship with him, to commune, and to walk with God in life, to know the sweetness of his presence, to daily fellowship and walk in his paths, in his word. What a joy. What joy Christians have. Now, the unsaved, they're not born again. And because they're not regenerated, they are spiritually dead in trespasses and sins. They're blind spiritually. They don't see the precious truths in the scriptures that ignite our hearts and fill us with joy and praise. They don't see the things that we see or experience, the joys that we have in the Spirit. They're spiritually bound. Their sins enslave them. The chains of habits and sins are all around them. They're unteachable. They're uninstructable. Not only are they unteachable, they don't want to be taught. They will refuse to be taught. These people that are not regenerated, they don't seek after God. Romans 3:11 says, there's none who understands, there's none who seeks after God. The unregenerate will not, do not, cannot seek after God. Psalm 10:4 says that God is in none of their thoughts. I recall when I became a Christian, one of the things that really was amazing to me is that I could never, that day in that locker room, I could never, ever get away from the thought of God. God is always in my consciousness. And everything I say or do, I think of him, and it's there and convicting or blessing or challenging or speaking. God is always in our thoughts. Maurice Roberts from Scotland wrote a wonderful book called The Thought of God. This book's a little gem published by Banner of Truth, a little paperback book. A little paperback book by Maurice Roberts, The Thought of God, published by Banner of Truth. If you have not read it, get on Amazon, order it. It will be a blessing to your heart. I heard someone tell me about this book when I was in England once on one of my journeys for Evangelical Press. They said, you got to read this book by Maurice Roberts, the book, The Thought of God. And it was recommended by a couple of brothers in the London area. When I went down to Cardiff, Wales to visit with the Hyams, I'll never forget, I was with Alan Hyam, and we were walking through a store in Cardiff, in central Cardiff. And I just thought, I said, Alan, by the way, somebody mentioned to me about reading this book by Maurice Roberts on the thought of God. Have you heard of it, and would you recommend it? I'll never forget. It was in the winter. He reached in his coat pocket and pulled out a copy of it. It was worn and had written all through it. And I said, you don't need to say anything else. The fact that you've got it with you, you've been reading it. And I got that book, and oh, what a blessing to my soul. Now, that's just a little bit of information that I hope you'll take home with you today and get that book, The Thought of God by Maurice Roberts. So why would anyone want to walk with God? The believer and the non-believer, we have our lives. One is alive, has spiritual life, and one is spiritually dead. And one has presuppositions based on the new birth, and one has presuppositions based on their deadness and their lack of spiritual knowledge. Why would anyone ever want to walk with God? For the believer, it's not a hard question to answer, is it? We've fallen in love with Christ. John Newton said it so well in his great hymn, Amazing Grace. What does he say in that one stanza? 'Twas grace that taught my heart to fear, and grace my fears relieved. How precious did that grace appear the hour I first believed. See, belief is not something that we work up or cook up in ourselves. Faith, true saving faith and belief in God is a gift from the Holy Spirit. And when he gives you that ability to believe and he regenerates your heart, the very first thing you do is you repent, you turn, and you embrace him. And the true child of God is always somebody who wants to walk with God. Now we come to the second question here today is this. What does it mean to walk with God? I've asked the question, why would anyone want to walk with God? Apart from grace, nobody would. Apart from grace, men would flee and run from God. As Adam and Eve, when they fell into sin, they ran from God, hid in the shadows of the garden, covered themselves with fig leaves and so forth. They trembled in God's presence. It wasn't until they knew forgiveness and God made a covering to them before they could ever fellowship back with him. So it is, people today who aren't the Lord's, they have no desire of God, no hunger for him. They fear him, they run from him, they hide from him. But now, secondly, what does it mean to walk with God? Well, I think it means a number of things. I want to just share it again very briefly, if I may. To walk with God means we are developing a deep spiritual intimacy with the God of Scripture. You can't walk with God if you're not in the Word. Because it's as we study the Scriptures, God reveals himself to us. And we have a deep, intimate relationship with him. I was telling some of the men in my office this morning as we gathered for prayer about, my former pastor would teach Pastor Bill and I about this mystical union that we have with Christ. When believers are born again, he would often talk about this mystical union. It always fascinated me, this relationship, this union, this gracious union as we're planted in Christ, and Christ planted in us, and we have this, by the Spirit, this union with Christ, as the branches are connected to the vine, and there's the life of God flowing in our hearts and our souls. And when we have that happening, we develop an intimacy, a fellowship. In some ways, a believer is so different from the non-believer. We walk around, and our thoughts are about God. We pray to him. We commune with him. We communicate. We sing to him. We praise his name. We worship him. Sometimes we're simply be still and know that I'm God. Have you ever been out and just pause and just let the thought or the consciousness of God envelop your soul? My wife loves the world in which we live. She loves to look at the stars at night, the moon when it's out, the flowers, the trees, the mountains, the hills, because every time she sees it, it's like it's a never-ending cascade of praise coming out of her soul. As she said, she'll always remind anyone who's with us, God made the moon. God put those stars. God is the one who made these beautiful flowers. She loves the creation because it reminds her of God. She has an intimate relationship with him. To walk with God means we have that intimate relationship. It means we have a unity of purpose. When we're walking with God, we're walking in the same direction with the same purpose. Now, the Scriptures give us some hints as to what it means to walk with God. Jesus said this. He says, "He will," about the Holy Spirit, "when he comes, he will glorify me, for he will take of what is mine and declare it to you." Christ said, when the Spirit of God comes, he will glorify me. John the Baptist said to his disciples, he, referring to Christ, "He must increase, but we must decrease." Walking with God means that we're glorifying him and that we're praising him and that we're serving him and living with him. To walk with God involves abiding in Christ, fellowshipping with Christ, following Christ, and taking up the yoke of Christ. To walk with God, it means these things. Do you abide in him? Do you fellowship with him? Do you know what it is to be alone and to be simply in communing in your heart with him? This is what it means to walk with God. Thirdly, we've looked at why would anyone want to walk with God? What does it mean to walk with God? But the question is, it says Enoch, he walked with God, and God took him. Where does walking with God take you? If I walk with God, where will it take me? Obviously, it implies if I'm going to be walking with God, I'm going in the same direction. It means if I'm walking with God, I have the same purpose and unity and so forth, and same fellowship and communion. Where does walking with God take the believer? You, O friend, child of God, you walk with God. If you walk with God, what will happen to you? I suppose there are some negatives that could be mentioned here. I won't dwell on a negative. Sometimes if you walk with God, there will be people that will turn on you. There will be people that will reject you. There will be people that will misunderstand you. There will be people that will despise you because you walk with God and love him and his son. But let's focus on the positive today. Where will walking with God take you? Dear friend, if you walk with God, if you know him, and you desire a new purpose in your heart to walk every day with God, it will take you into a life of unimaginable joy and blessing. Spiritual joy and blessing. Jesus said, I am come that they might have life and have it more abundantly. And those who walk with God will know a spiritual joy and blessing such as the world could never understand. If you walk with God, it will take you into a life of peace. The world is at turmoil. What we saw happen in Paris is but the tip of the iceberg. We're going to see more bloodshed and more problems with radical Islam because it's a bloody, godless religion that desires to make the whole world bow down to their Sharia law and their false god. The world doesn't have an answer to the problems that they're facing. The world doesn't have peace today. And in the emptiness of the soul of man, people try to fill it with all sorts of pleasures and sins and things. But when people know God and walk with Him, there will be a peace that the world could never give. Paul says in Romans 5:1, therefore, having been justified by faith, we have peace with God. What a joy it is to have peace with the Lord, to know that you have peace with God. Isn't that a wonderful blessing to think that you have peace with Him? If you walk with God, it'll lead you into a life of joy and blessing. It'll lead you into a life of peace with God, eventually walking with God. And this is most important. Eventually, those who walk with God will walk right into heaven. They'll walk and follow the Lord right into glory. The book of Revelation reminds us that those who make it to heaven are those who walked with God. Revelation 21:7, it says, He who overcomes shall inherit all things, and I will be his God, and he shall be my son. He who overcomes. The only people that get to heaven are those who overcome the world, the flesh, and the devil. Walking with God will take you right into eternity. Someone once said, those who live well, die well. And I will tell you this, if you want these blessings, if you know the Lord, do you know the Lord? Have you been born again? Is eternity placed in your heart? Then walk with God. Develop that habit, that passion, that thrill, that joy of walking with God every day. I've often thought, when Christians are taken and thrown into prison, the early reformers, some of the martyrs, when people are persecuted and they have no one there, no support group, how do they survive? How do they exist? There's a secret. People who are facing the loneliness of exile, of prison because of their faith, those who have been tortured, those who have been taken away from all they love, how do they cope in those terrible situations? Here's how they cope. These are men and women who knew what it was to walk with God. And in a rotting prison cell, banished in some place, John on the Isle of Patmos, Paul in the prison at Rome, wherever it may, people who know God, who fellowship with God, who walk with God, are never lonely people. They're never alone. There's a fellowship in the Trinity that they have with God that satisfies them like nothing else could. A true Christian can have their health taken, their wealth taken. They can have all their friends taken. They can be stripped of everything. But if they have God, they survive. And they know joy, even in the deepest sorrows, because they have that relationship with the Lord. Where does walking with God take us to these things? Again, walking with God is a metaphor often used to describe our journey through life. And as we journey through life, we find it our privilege and our joy to walk with the God of the Bible. Well, we've looked at these three things. Now the fourth is, what keeps a person walking with God? I've often wondered, why is it that some people, they begin well, and then all of a sudden they stumble? They get up, they go a little bit further, they stumble. They get up, they go, and they stumble. But eventually, some of these people, they stumble, and they stay down. They don't get up, and eventually, they turn around and go back to the world. They've put their hand to the plow, but they've turned back. They've left. Eventually, sometimes they even outwardly deny the Lord they once said they loved. Why? Why does somebody stop walking with God? Well, John tells us in 1 John 2, they went out from us, but they are not of us. If they had been of us, they no doubt would have continued with us. But they went out that it might be made manifest that they were not of us. Some people fall away from the faith, and we would say they never really knew the Lord, because those who know the Lord, they may stumble, they may fall, but they get up, and they continue, and they persevere, and they make it. It's not the guy who begins the race who gets the prize, it's the one who finishes to the end. And I've known people who've gone a long way in the so-called Christian life, and at the end did not do well. Knew one woman who was doing wrong, and my wife reminded her, finish the race well. Do right. Honor God. Do right. Finish the race well. Well, let me suggest some things that I think will help us, help the true believer to keep pursuing walking with God. I think one of the things that kept Enoch faithful was that the Bible tells us in Jude, he was a preacher of righteousness and judgment to come. Knowing that there is a day of judgment coming, I think knowing that and fearing God is a catalyst to help us to walk with the Lord. Do you know that? The judgment day is coming? Do you know that there's going to be a day standing before the God of the Bible, the God of the universe, the Creator, to give an account? And those who know that judgment is coming, who fear God, they walk with him. They're reminded to walk with him. I think Enoch was encouraged to walk with God because I think he found his greatest joy in his relationship with the God of the Bible. Enoch was a preacher, we know, of righteousness. And I can say this in a tongue-in-cheek way. Enoch, he loved to fish, but not going out for bass or salmon or whatever. He was a fisher for the souls of men. For 300 years he lived and was faithful and preached the judgment of God. I find it interesting that this man, his preaching was on judgment. Today we have so many pastors and churches that are committed to saying, they do it by studied intention, we will not mention, if at all, very little, we will not mention the wrath of God. And so the idea to be a cool communicator is to always be totally positive, entertaining, funny and witty, telling little quips and stories and little one-liners and so forth. The great preachers of the past that shook the nations, that were used in revivals and reformations, were men who, without fear of man, proclaimed the whole counsel of God and preached that there's a day of judgment coming. There is a reckoning coming. Would I be faithful to you? Would I be faithful to any of you here if I did not from time to time remind you and warn you there is a day of reckoning coming? One man put it in a poetic verse like this: I dreamed that the great judgment morning had dawned and the trumpet had blown. I dreamed the nations had gathered to judgment before the white throne. From the throne came a bright shining angel and stood on the land and the sea and swore with his hand raised to heaven that time was no longer to be. And oh, what a weeping and wailing as the lost were told of their fate. They wept and they prayed to the mountains, but they wept and they prayed too late. It's time to get right with God in life, because 1 second after you're dead, 1 second after your heart beats its last, it's too late. And there's no salvation in eternity. What keeps a person walking with God? I believe it's the fear of God. And the knowing that judgment is coming, and knowing that men need to know him, and knowing the precious joys of his fellowship keeps a person walking with God. I want to close by saying this today. I've looked at, why would anyone want to walk with God? Well, we wouldn't were it not for grace. What does it mean to walk with God? I said it means to fellowship with him, commune with him, going together in the same purpose and direction and so forth, serve and praise and glorify Him? Where does it take you into a life of joy and blessing and fellowship and wonders that you could never imagine? And what keeps us walking with God is His mighty grace and His the fear of God and the knowing that judgment is coming. But here's something about Enoch I want you to know. Enoch walked with God in a very dark time. The fall had preceded his life. The flood followed his life. His life was in a time of declension. The little cemetery east of Eden was filling up fast. Men were unrighteous and ungodly. As Genesis 6 says, their thoughts were wicked continually. God, as it were, in an anthropomorphic expression so that we could kind of understand his heart. It grieved him that he made man. Men were wicked exceedingly. In this dark, difficult hour, Enoch walked with God. Friend, in a dark hour, in a dark day, in a difficult time, you can walk with God. And your life can shine like a star in the heavens in the darkness. And you can be a blessing to those around you by walking with God. Micah 6:8, the prophet says, He's shown you, O man, what is good and what the Lord requires of you, but to do justly, to love mercy, and to walk humbly with your God. I love that verse. Genesis 17:1 talks about Abraham. When Abraham was 99 years old, the Lord appeared to Abraham and said to him, I am Almighty God. Walk before me. Walk before me and be blameless. Leviticus 26:21 tells us that if you walk contrary to me, the Lord says, and are not willing to obey me, I will bring on you seven times more plagues according to your sins. We're a nation that has not walked with God. We've had great light and great blessings. We've had a past, a heritage that's been so precious. But now we are murdering children through abortion. Pornography is proliferating. Crime is exploding. There are evils and troubles facing this country such as we've never known before. Godless practices and sins are rampant in our land. People are confused. Leadership doesn't seem to have an answer. And because of this, God's grace has withdrawn in a great extent, and judgment is falling. So what can you do? What should you do, friend? I plead with you, walk with God. Let your light shine before men. Be salt to the earth. Be the light of the world. Walk with God. Let your voice be as a silver trumpet calling men to repentance. Let your life be like a blazing a symbol of the presence of Christ in the world. You are a picture of Christ to those around you. Your life is a Bible for men to read. Pass out booklets and tracts and sermons. Do what you can to tell others about the Lord Jesus. It's our privilege in a fallen world. It's our privilege, our joy, and our responsibility to walk with God. Enoch, he walked with God. What a joy. What a blessing. And one day, God just took him. He's going to take us by death. But nevertheless, if we walk with God, when that time comes, what joy will fill our hearts. May you each, as believers, walk with God. If there's anyone here today, and you have no desire in your heart to know God or walk with Him, oh, my friend, do you understand what danger you're in? I plead with you, if that's where you are. I plead with you. Today, why not today, cry out to God and say, Lord, I don't have this hunger. I don't have this desire. Oh, God, be merciful to me, a sinner. Change my heart. Give me this desire that Pastor Dickey is talking about. Seek Him while He may be found. Our Father and our God, we thank You that we have this privilege of knowing You on earth, that like Jim Elliot, we can walk outside this building, gaze into the heavens, and be overwhelmed by Your glory and the joy of knowing You on earth and following You until one day we actually walk right into heaven. Father, bless Your people, I pray. For Christ's sake, I ask. Amen.